Now, we're going to talk about a counseling failure. Assessing counseling failure. This says addressing it, but it should have been assessing it. But that's all right. It doesn't make much difference. I mean, in a sense, we're addressing it in order to assess it. So that's fine. You know, you're going to fail when you counsel. There's no doubt about it. You're going to fail. You're going to have counseling failures. Count on it. Just plain count on it. And don't work toward it, but count on it. And the reason I say that is because the apostles failed. And we're going to look at one apostolic failure today from the scriptures. That's what we're going to assess and get some, I hope, helpful information from it that will guide you when you run into one of your counseling failures. The Lord Jesus even once said, "Where are the nine?" Now, he didn't fail, of course, but his audience did. It's like the play was a success, but the audience was a failure. Nine of them. He got one out of 10. You expect your average to be a lot better than that? I don't know. At any rate, here is something we're going to have to deal with from time to time, and so we might as well take some time to look at it today. We're going to look at a case of apostolic failure that was also a success because of the way he handled the failure. And that's the book of 3 John. Now, I'm not talking about John 3. I'm talking about 3 John, which is far east of John 3. If you keep going east in your Bible, don't skip over 3 John, but it's real close to Revelation, but kind of stop just before you get to Revelation, and there you're going to find 3 John. Sometimes people read things like first John, and then they flip over to Revelation, don't even realize there's some little goodies in between there, like 2 John, 3 John, Jude. And there's earlier on, there's Philemon. There are those little short books, and those little short books sometimes we think are insignificant. Actually, they're extremely significant, and one of the reasons for that is because they are short since they were sent to meet emergencies. The apostle would dash off something quickly and give it to somebody who was traveling in that direction so that they could deal as quickly as possible with some kind of an emergency until they could get there and do something more about it. And so those are very valuable books. Those are not books you ought to neglect. They're books you ought to learn, know thoroughly, and use for the purpose for which they were given. We're going to look at one of them today. And that's the book of 3 John. And I'm just going to go through, read you the first chapter, and also going to read you the last chapter. As we go through, we'll talk a little bit about it, and then we're going to come back and assess what took place in that counseling failure and how John handled the failure, which is the thing that's most significant about this book. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in truth. Now, we're not sure which Gaius this was. There are several Gaiuses in the Bible, and it was a word that was a lot like the word Smith. In our day, I mean, even in contracts and so on, when they had a sample of how a contract ought to be written, they would use the name Gaius, you know, just as a name to fill in where you would write your name in the contract. And so it was that common a name. And so we just don't know who this Gaius was. There are three others in the Bible, so it could be any one of those or a fourth one. So all we're going to really know for sure about Gaius, we know from this book, this tremendous amount that we learn about him in this little book. He was a stellar character, a really fine Christian man. And as a matter of fact, there are three people in this book, and it's kind of like two mountains, two mountaintop individuals, Gaius being one of them, the first one, and then a guy down here in between. When you got two mountains, you always got a low spot between them. And so here's this low spot, which is the third guy, And he's swamping it down around somewhere down below the mountains. And these other two are up there breathing the fresh air and looking at the beautiful vistas around. So we got in the book of 3 John three people. 3 John three main people. 3 John three main people, not to speak of the one who's writing the book, John. So it's easy to remember that way. 3 John, how many main people?
Three.
Oh, you're good. Man, what a brilliant bunch we have here today. I think it's like it's that candy we passed out made the difference. The elder to my friend Gaius, dear friend Gaius, whom I love in truth. That phrase, love in truth, is very significant because the balance that most people need to maintain, most people don't maintain. They either go on to love wholeheartedly to the place where it becomes mush, because it doesn't have any truth connected with it, or they go into truth and they become hard as a rock and haven't got any love. Everything's just got to be this way and that's it, and you know, there's no place for bringing a person along or anything of that sort. So love in the truth, real love is always love that grows out of truth, and truth, if it is truth, will produce love. And so these two things ought to be in balance in our lives. And it's one of the places where it's very easy to get out of balance. But John the Apostle is writing with that kind of a balance. He says, whom I love in the truth. It's not just I love you with some kind of a mushy old feeling, but I love you in the truth, in this realm that we both maintain as being true, the Christian faith. Dear friend, I pray that all your interests may prosper and that you may have good health in the same way that your soul is prospering. Boy, what a statement about that man. Now, if John were writing about you or me, he might have turned that all around. He might have to say, you know, I wish you were your soul was profiting as well as you are financially and physically. But here was a man whose spiritual life was prospering so greatly that he says, I wish you were physically and materially profiting as well as you are spiritually. What a fine statement about an individual. And yet that's the kind of person Gaius was. So we are learning something about this man that's very significant right from the outset in these words of John. I say this, he says, because I was delighted when the brothers came and testified about your truth, that you are walking in the truth. Now, the brothers are significant in this letter. The brothers were missionaries we're going to see, who went out from the Apostle John and some of the other apostles and so on, and went around as itinerary missionaries, and they went from place to place, staying with Christians. And that's one of the problems that we're going to deal with here in this particular letter. So keep that in mind. These brothers are missionaries that came from John. And they came back to John, and when they came back, they testified about the truth that was in this man, Gaius. And notice the strong emphasis on truth in this letter. And he says, nothing pleases me more than to hear that my own children are walking in the truth. It should be translated my own children, because what he's talking about, John's talking about here, is the fact that he led Gaius to faith in Christ. And he said, the thing that pleases me most above all other things is if I've led somebody to Christ and then I see them walking in the truth. That's a wonderful thing if you've led someone to the Lord and they're little babies in the faith, and they're having a hard time to walk. Even they're stumbling around like a little child does when he's first learning to walk, and daddy holds his hands out, and the kid comes stumbling over the hands and so on, and so on. But then to see them grow, and one day there stands mommy and dad at the door as they watch their son go off, and mom has a terrible tear running down her eyes, and off he goes to kindergarten. I mean, he's become strong enough to walk on his own, to go off on his own, to actually go to kindergarten on his own, and so on. And you know, we watch a child grow. is what I'm saying. And here was John watching this man grow spiritually. And it was a joy, a delight, one of the greatest delights that he